All right, so Alexander, let's talk about three news topics. They're all related, and they all have to do with, well, not all of them. They have to do with the CV, they have to do with Trump, and then we'll discuss Dershowitz's video interview. But let's take the first one, which is Trump was doing a presser, and he revealed that he's been taking the prophylaxis hydroxychloroquine with azithromycin, and I thought from a political, once again, always looking at it from a political standpoint, the fact that everyone was freaking out about when he first said weeks ago about hydroxychloroquine, everyone freaked out. And so Trump just ratcheted it up one step further and said, hey, I'm taking it. So I thought it was a brilliant type of chess move. I don't know. What do you think?
I completely agree. I mean, this is exactly what Trump does. It's him provoking the Democrats and the opposition and the establishment and the media into sort of ludicrous reactions. I think it's also his revenge, by the way, for the way they persist still in misquoting him. I mean, not just misquoting him, in completely misrepresenting what he said about the disinfectant. I mean, this bizarre story that he sort of advised people to inject themselves with disinfectant, which he never said. So he comes back and he comes after them with this particular bit about the hydroxychloroquine, which is his right to take. People can follow, he can do it or not. It's up to them. Whether it's efficacious or not, I'm far from sure. But politically, Donald Trump, I think you're right. I think it plays brilliantly to his electoral constituency and helps him. And helps him move the discussion forward in the way that he wants it to. It puts the I come back to what I said a couple of days ago in another program. He is best on the rebound, and this is a really strong rebound. This is my own personal view.
Yeah, the freak out from the media. Freak out.
Hit. Yeah,
I know. Beyond I know. Level I know. 10. I mean,
level 10.
That was
exactly.
His point. That was exactly. What he wanted to do.
That's exactly his point. So as I said, he's now doing that. They're all going to, as you correctly said, they're going to freak out. They're all going to be talking about him. They're all going to be talking about what he's done. People will be reading about what the president's up to. They'll be reading about what the Democrats are saying about the president. And this is something. This is a real medication. It's not, as I said, disinfectant. He gets us away from that ridiculous and absurd disinfectant story. I think it's actually pretty well thought out. I've always said this about Trump. I mean, he may talk in, you know, long and meandering sentences, but there's always ultimately, when he does something like this, there's a lot more political understanding of what he's doing than people give him credit for. They always get him wrong, and he always keeps them off balance. And this is another example.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's doing. Just to wrap it up, he even got Nancy Pelosi to call him morbidly obese. That's what Nancy Pelosi called him, morbidly obese. So you have the identity politics of the Democrats. Kind of, I guess you could say they're fat shaming Trump. I mean, this is how bizarre it's gotten.
I mean, it is. It's completely bizarre. It's quite ridiculous. But of course, I mean, you know, they're the people who are constantly bringing up all these questions about, you know, appearance, whatever. I mean, every kind of identity issue you can imagine. And now they've been provoked into saying this about Donald Trump, morbidly obese. I'm sure he'll find some way of, you know, hitting that one back. That's exactly the kind of reaction he likes. Yeah. It's exactly what he, I mean, it astonishes me that the Democrats and the media always fall for this.
Haven't figured it out. It reminds me of the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote, and that coyote is constantly chasing the Roadrunner. He never figures it out. The media just, they can't figure out when he's trolling them. Anyway, very, very quickly, Trump said that he's giving the WHO 30 days to clean up its act. What do you make of that?
I think it's, again, an extremely brilliant and clever and astute move. The WHO has no defenders in the United States amongst the American people. There are some people within the elite world who support it, principally because Donald Trump is against it. And let us be very, very clear, the WHO has things that it has done horribly wrong over the course of this crisis. I'm not here to defend it. On the contrary, there are things it's done wrong. Got far too close to the Chinese government. It gave inconsistent and manipulative information at the beginning. And there are real genuine issues of corruption here. Donald Trump once again sets the agenda, puts the WHO on its back foot, and we will see what they can come up with within 30 days. My guess is nothing. They won't be able to satisfy Donald Trump, and he will freeze its funding. And that's fine as far as the American people are concerned. I am sure they will support their president on this.
Yeah, it's a political winner. That's a winner.
It's a political winner.
The position he's taken is a political winner.
It's a complete political winner. I have no doubt about it, as I said. People will come along, or, you know, Democrats and people like that will be jumping up and down again, saying, you know, how terrible and shocking and wicked it is of Donald Trump to do this thing. And the American people will see this and they will say, well, the Democrats are siding with the WHO. And we are siding with our president. That's what most Americans will think.
All right. And finally, staying with CV, moving away from Trump, you have Alan Dershowitz, who did a video interview the other day, and this one went viral. And because Alan Dershowitz he's self-proclaimed. He promotes himself as being the defender of civil liberties and human rights and the Constitution. And he has branded himself throughout his career as, you know, not even being partisan, not being left or right when it comes to the Constitution and civil liberties. You know, he has branded himself as always falling on the side of the Constitution and on the side of individual rights. But he said this during the interview, Alexander, quote, "Let me put it very clearly. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open your business." The interviewer, Jason Goodman, interjected, asking if the famed constitutional scholar was saying that if the government decides you have to be vaccinated, we have to be vaccinated. Quote, Dershowitz replied, "Absolutely. If you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm." That's a direct quote. It goes against everything that Dershowitz has branded himself to be, doesn't it?
Well, I have to say, I think he's completely wrong on this one. Now, I am not perhaps a jurist of anything remotely like the eminence or academic eminence that Dershowitz has or claims to have. But my understanding of human rights law and constitutional law is that proportionality is absolutely fundamental to constitutional and human rights law. Every human being, every citizen of the United States has liberty of the person and has a right to to have their personal life protected. I think that is the fundamental principle upon which the United States Constitution and the federal laws and civil liberties laws of the United States are based. And I don't think that this concept that you're going to have to be able to force people to take vaccinations is acceptable in any shape or form. I know what he's talking about when he says, you know, that there's a right to life and that governments have a right to protect the right to life. But there is always proportionality. And I think that we've discussed this in previous programs, this idea that vaccinations or mass vaccinations is the route necessarily to defeating the virus is a scientific fallacy anyway. It is not what science is saying. And I'm talking about conventional orthodox science. I think the idea anyway that you can force people into vaccinations, which they don't want, is completely wrong. And the idea that you can force lockdowns on people and force things like that on them indefinitely and apparently without any kind of regard to situations or circumstances. It's a complete misunderstanding of the law. I think that is disproportionate. I think that is arbitrary. I think that is wrong. And I just don't, I think Dershowitz, Mr. Dershowitz, needs to go back to his law books and needs to study them again. And I think if he studies them properly, he will understand, or he should try to understand, that he is misunderstanding the law profoundly here. I speak as somebody who is not opposed to vaccinations. I speak as somebody who is not, you know, opposed in proper situations to lockdowns. But to express it in the way that Dershowitz has done, I think is completely wrong. And I just wonder, frankly, as I said, what he thinks he's saying.
That's the point that I agree with you 100%, Alexander. Obviously, I'm not qualified in a legal position, but from a PR perspective, just to close it out, my final thoughts, from a PR perspective, Dershowitz did himself a tremendous amount of harm here, because the images that he's describing there and the words that he uses, that the government can forcibly take you and plunge a needle into your arm. I mean, he's describing some very violent and terrifying scenarios. Why do that? Why say that?
Well, why say that indeed? As I said, I come back to the point I made. It violates the principle of security of the person. We all have it. That is it. That is fundamental to a democratic society. Now, there are circumstances where that can be restricted, that only on a very temporary basis if we've committed no crime. And it must be both necessary and proportionate. Now, let's take vaccinations. There are people who have strong religious feelings about vaccinations. We may agree with them, we may not agree with them. Does the Constitution give the federal government the power to override those religious feelings? I think not. I certainly don't think so in this case, in this situation where we are at the moment, where, as I said, I don't think conventional science says that. I am absolutely sure it doesn't. So I think he has just got this law wrong completely here. I think he's obviously done a massive own goal in terms of his own reputation, because he comes across as unbelievably authoritarian and arbitrary in this matter. But, you know, I just wonder where he's coming from, because, as I said, I find from a legal perspective, his argument not just wrong, I find it frankly bizarre. Actually, there was a decision by the Supreme Court of Wisconsin a short while ago, which I wonder whether this is what's provoked it, because I haven't analysed their judgment closely. But basically, as I understand it, it basically said that the lockdown, which is being implemented in Wisconsin, is against the constitutional laws of Wisconsin. Wisconsin has very few cases. We are once again looking at the proportionality principle. This is something, unless you discuss that, which perhaps it must be said on a TV program, it's difficult to do. At least the kind of program that maybe Dershowitz was on. It's difficult to do. But if you discuss legal principles with your human rights principles without mentioning it, then you have completely lost it, because frankly the only situation where you can deprive people of any part of their rights, and some rights, by the way, you're not allowed to take away from people under any circumstance. These are absolute rights. I mean, you can't take away from them, for example, you can't abolish elections. I mean, that's too fundamental. But certain things, to some extent, you can restrict in the interests of, you know, preserving life. But you have to do it proportionately. You have to do it for a limited amount of time. You have to do it in a way that is consistent with law. You have to allow for due process. You have to allow for a proper system of appeals. And last but not least, it has to be necessary. Vaccination doesn't come into this. So what is he talking about? I think the good professor as I said, needs to get and stick in with his law books and think carefully what he is saying before he comes on television and makes utterly wrong and provocative and over the top statements like that, which are going to upset and frighten a lot of people without any good cause, and which will only do his own reputation harm. I've said good things about Dershowitz. I think he was a brilliant advocate in the impeachment proceedings. I think he did a wonderful legal analysis there. He did exhaustive research in that case. I can't imagine he's done any research here at all. And I think he needs, as I said, to take a step back, think carefully about what he said, check the law in his law books, and start providing both proper explanations and apologies and retractions of these very extreme positions that he's taking, which no jurist, I think, would support.
Yeah, he should choose his words a little more carefully, because he literally is just scaring the crap out of people.
Well, absolutely. Well, unnecessarily so. I mean, they're scared enough already without being terrorized by statements like this. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, he you know, let's always understand what, you know, if he's a professor of law, understand what the law says.
Yeah, and he's not helping the situation. When you make comments like that, you're not helping the situation.
At every level, you're going to provoke people, you're going to scare people, you're going to frighten people, you can make people angry. They're going to be angry with you. They're going to be more angry with the federal government. They're going to be more resistant to any step that's taken, which might actually be necessary to protect them. And I'm talking about, you know, necessary things that might need to be done. But, you know, talking about forcing vaccinations on people and telling them that they can't protest or argue against it, no lawyer should ever say that. There should always, for one thing, in any situation where there's a deprivation of rights, be a recourse to law, a right of appeal to a court. If that doesn't exist, then we really are in a very bad shape. And that is what the Constitution says. The Constitution of the United States makes that absolutely clear. And human rights law around the world says the same thing. So, as I said, I don't know what Dershowitz is talking about. Well, I do know what Dershowitz is talking about, but he is completely wrong. I just want to make that very clear. And I think, as I said, the good professor needs to go back, think it through, read his law books, publish the retraction, give the apology, and calm people down who are probably very scared and very frightened after what he's just said.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to have the government pull me out of my house and stick a needle in.
Well, absolutely.
That ain't going to happen.
Absolutely not. As I said, we're not to, this is not the situation, as I said, that we are looking at now. It's not the situation we should ever be looking at. I mean, this is a crazy idea.
All right. Let's end it there, Alexander. Interesting news topics today.
Certainly.